We've arrived in the first reading on the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16. We arrive at a momentous turning point. They leave Troas and they finally arrive at Philippi, which is the first time they've set foot on European soil. Now, there may have been people already preaching the gospel in Rome, because nobody knows who founded the Roman church, one of those wonderful things. Probably some Jewish Christians who left Jerusalem, maybe because things were difficult, and went to live with their relatives in Rome. And they may have been the first. The other thing about this text, what was the, you remember, you probably don't, what was the first word in the text? We. How come we, all of a sudden? Paul did this, Paul did this, Paul and Timothy did this, all of a sudden we. Probably this is where Luke joined them. And he's writing Acts, and so this is where he joins them. Which means he must have been living up in that part of the world, I guess, and became a real disciple. And Paul said, travel with us. And so he did. We set out. And then we have that lovely story about Lydia, who was really touched by the Lord and provided a place for them when they stayed there to preach in Philippi. And as you know, I guess, Philippi and the Philippians were probably Paul's favorite community. He tries to be impartial, but there's something about their fervor and their love that just attracts him so much. Not that they were without difficulties. He starts off the letter, if you remember, with this invocation, if there's any consolation in the Spirit, if there's any strength, if there's any, fill up my joy by thinking alike. And later on in the letter, he mentions to Evodia and Syndicate, evidently two prominent women in the community, to get it together. They're arguing or fighting or whatever they're doing. And Paul says, and I urge you, so-and-so, the leader of the community, to help them. These two great women who served the Lord so well, and now they're at odds, and so help them out. In the gospel, we have a paraclete promise. Our translation has, when the advocate, which is literal, ad vocare, parakalin, to call to one side. It was a word in this culture, Greek word, paraclete, parakletos, which signified something very specific. And even so much that when the Semitic-speaking people wanted to use the word, they had to just say paraclete. They didn't have a word. It was somebody who helps you in a situation of legal confrontation. Can be the one who intercedes with the judge, the one who gives you advice, tells you how to testify, or the one who supplies whatever you need. And John picks that word to describe the Holy Spirit. Why? Because as we're going to hear right in this gospel, every believer is on trial. He must bear witness. As you know, John never uses the word God, evangelize. He never uses that word. He always speaks about witnessing, testifying. Because we're on trial. We are claiming that God is one divine, infinite beauty in three persons. And that what's wrong with this world is sin. And one of those persons has come to live among us, to be the very person of this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And that he died and rose again for our sins. And that we are free, and that life is not over with death. We have an eternal life with this triune God. That's what we're preaching, if we're getting it straight. And not everybody wants to hear that. I think for most people, it's just too good to be true. Don't bother me with that. I got my taxes. I got the financial problems. I got my son on dope. You know, don't bother me with this. And then there's the evil one and those who get tricked by him who want to stop this. And so the paraclete comes. And your thing that he's described in doing in this text is exactly what we do. The word is martyrin, to witness. And so, you see, he's the spirit of truth. Truth. In John's gospel, truth is, if you will, the eschatological manifestation of the Father. Finally see the Father's face. It begins in this life, coming to know the Father. And the one who brings us to the knowledge of the Father is the blessed Holy Spirit of truth. He brings us there, as it says in Ephesians there. We all, through him, through Jesus, in one spirit, have access to the Father. And so this spirit, who proceeds from the Father, is testifying to the reality, the majesty, the love, the power, the mercy of Jesus, to make him known, to make him known. He will testify to me. He, that's the word, witness to me. He will tell you who I am. And then you go out and witness in this power. Augustine, reading this, he will testify to me, says, ille interius vos exterius. He interiorly to you and you out to the world. Preach it. Make my love known. And so, and you testify because you've been with me from the beginning of his life, but also from the beginning of your life. When you really begin to believe, then you really begin to live, and you testify. You know, as Peter said in Acts a few weeks ago, how can we not testify? We know that Jesus Christ is the eternal living Son of God. We know that he's alive, risen, glorious, identified with the Father. How can we not testify? How do they know all that? Because the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. And now you know why the church is getting us ready with these paraclete promises. Huh? Because on Pentecost Day, the church will be bathed again in the power of the Holy Spirit in a new way. New way, the first time, you know, in 2 millennia that this has happened. And we need it. So we pray for ourselves and the whole church, you see. Because, as it says here then, our Lord says, I've told you all this, so that you may not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. They're going to throw you right out of your people. Can you imagine? And that happened. There was this blessing of the Minim, anyway. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he's offering worship to God. They'll do this because they have not known either the Father or me. They just wouldn't accept it. I've told you this, so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you. It's not out of my control. It isn't like God forgot about us, or that Jesus can't handle this. I've told you this. Now you come to me, and you trust me, and by your life, and by your love, and by your words, you testify to what the Holy Spirit is testifying to you inside. And now you see, we'll never, never survive unless we're praying a lot and yielding to this witness of the Holy Spirit so that we really know the Father. And with that goes the capacity to love even our enemies. So, you see how the church is beginning to get us ready for Pentecost, huh? Which is the, in one way, the culmination of the whole liturgical year. We've been getting ready for this for almost 90 days now. 40 days of Lent and 50 days of Paschal time to get ready to celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit.